Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Funny fellows tonight. I hope they're wearing their long under, their 40 funny long underwear because they're going to need it. It's cool and cold outside and going to get even colder. Right now it's 40 degrees, highs today going up to 62, but tomorrow's highs are only going to be 47 and 49 on Wednesday, 49 on Thursday, then the upper 50s on Friday, then cools off again on Saturday, highs of 47, and we're not going to get into the foreseeable future past the lower 50s, other than Friday when it goes up to 58, so be aware of that. Mike Dettelier joins us now, our friend, to talk about the Saints and the NFL, maybe it's been college playoffs and more. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good, thank you, Tommy.
Let's talk about, I don't want to spend a lot of time on yesterday's game because it, you know, the season's over. It is what it is, and we'll look ahead to next year. But full disclosure, I was out of town. I didn't see the game, but I did look at the stats, and when I see the Baker Mayfield rush for 68 yards, that can't be good. Did that come at key times?
At very key times. And the one thing with Baker yesterday, he sort of reminded me of the Baker I saw at Oklahoma, where he ran the football quite a bit there with the Sooners. Not so much in the NFL. He's normally more of what I would call a scrambler. He tries to buy a little time with his feet. But yesterday, key times, he took off running, and it really paid off for him. And, you know, I give the Saints a lot of credit. Man, they played hard
yesterday. They did, from what I see, yeah.
They really did. And the same thing I can say about Carolina. They had nothing to play for, nothing. And yet they ended up beating the Falcons. So it does go to show in this profession, there is pride to no matter what. Because you know everybody's watching you. And if you want to continue doing this, you better put forth all your efforts. All this tanking stuff that people throw out there, man, again, I throw it out. Do you tank at your job if everything's on the line? If either that or you looking for another job. Mm-hmm. And these guys, you know, they know in the back of their heads, they're never going to make this kind of money again. Never. Not at this level.
And also, they don't know if the next time they hit the field, something could end their career. Look what happened to poor Hokie and so many other players. You never know, right?
Yeah, you never know when it comes to an end. You know, God kind of gave you that talent, and then it slips away one way or another, either through age or through injury, one of the two.
So I was in Washington, D.C., and they had the Redskins-Cowboys game on, naturally, because that's that market, right? But I was keeping up with the Saints score, and Spencer Rattler had a pretty good first half, did he not?
Yes, he did. I thought that was the best I've seen Spencer play in the first half of that game. Not so much in the second half, but I thought in the first half he was very accurate with his throws. He was poised in the pocket. He knew where to go with the football. He threw some very catchable passes, and you were able to, you know, haul him in, and he was able to convert on third down. So you can see the glimpses and that he's got some talent. The next head coach will have to make that judgment what he wants to do with Spencer Rattler. But he was impressive in the first half. Really, really was.
Tell me about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I know he was the Saints' leading rusher. They didn't rush for a tremendous amount of yardage yesterday, 64 total as a team, but he had 26 of it.
Yeah, with Clyde, you know, he's always going to be a guy that he likes volume touches, okay? That's just the way he is. He was like that in high school. He was like that certainly at LSU. You know, with Clyde, you get one shot at him. He's not very big. So, you know, he kind of hides behind those bigger linemen, and then he shoots through. Again, this team is not known for its running the football, and it was evident yesterday. That was a lot of kind of got stand at the line of scrimmage a lot. So, you know, Clyde did his best, but he's a guy that I want to keep on this football team because he can help me some kind of way, in a reserve role, you know, and playing behind Alvin Kamara. And he has a role on this football team. And he also can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. He's a good guy picking up the inside blitzes. So I thought he did a really solid job yesterday. Now, the numbers aren't going to be great, but he wasn't getting a lot of help up front.
Jamal Williams, I think, has seen his last game in a black and gold. And what's his hit going to be on the salary cap and all of that with the Saints? Do you know?
Yeah, I think what you saw yesterday was his last game here. I always kind of scratch my head about when you brought him in, he was used a lot with the Lions as a short yardage red zone runner. You didn't see a lot of that with him. And the Saints didn't use him that way. It was sort of a little bit strange. Why'd you bring him in? I mean, he wasn't going to be your number one guy. He's got to be part of the tandem. He's always kind of been part of that, wherever he's been in the NFL. It was just sort of a strange ride of how they used him. I thought he ran the football real hard yesterday. He's always been a guy, north-south runner, run between the tackles, eyes up. But he still has some life in the NFL, just won't be in New Orleans.
You think he sold himself on film, not necessarily film on the field, but just personality and likability, and maybe, you know, sometimes you fall in love with a player that maybe you shouldn't. You think that had anything to do with it?
Because he's a very likable guy.
That's what I'm saying.
No question about that. But I think it's also, I think for probably 98% of the players in this league, it's about the right fit. I never felt he was the right fit for this team. It wasn't a good fit for him. Now, he just didn't get all those touchdowns because they liked him in Detroit. Okay?
No, and I mean so that as much as the Saints, maybe. Maybe he, you know, because he had such a social media presence the year before the Saints got him. I don't know if that maybe had something to do with his likability.
No, I don't think that was it. I thought the maybe idea was to use him in that short yardage red zone.
I got you.
Type situation, but it never really occurred here. And that's the thing about, that's where coaching matters. You got to figure out what's best for your player.
Let me take a quick break, Mike. We'll pick it up. We come back. 6:22 traffic now, WWL. 6:27, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Mike Dettillier, who'll be second guessing with the Cajun Cannon this evening. At the Silver Slipper Casino in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, starts at 4 o'clock. If you want to head out there, have a good time with them, you can. If not, just listen to the radio here on WWL. Mike, we'll move to the defense in the second half after the news, but I wanted to talk about Kendre Miller real quick, because here we go, more Kendre Miller limbo, not his hamstring, not his knee, but concussion protocol, so I don't. Man, it's like, really, this. So is it, we were trying to see if you can put a couple of games together. And to me, in terms of evaluation, I don't think you can blame him for the concussion, can you?
Can't blame him for the concussion. And now he's sort of in football purgatory like this team. You've got no evaluation of what you're going to do with him. Whoever comes in, it's going to give him another opportunity. Whoever the new coach is, going to give him another opportunity. He was a third-round pick. You might not like this, but it's the truth. If you're an early-round pick, you get more chances than a later-round pick. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. But you really don't know the full aspect of Kendra other than the fact he misses a tremendous amount of time with injuries.
But wait, and to be fair, there was a beef between him and Dennis Allen, right? And I want to correct myself here. I said you can't blame him for the concussion. You really can't blame him for a hamstring either if a guy's got a hamstring problem. But in this case, the thing that's so frustrating to me is, like we said, limbo or purgatory where, well, last year you didn't really know because of the hamstring or knee issues, whatever it was. This year, you're right back to where you started. You saw a little bit. But the big question was being able to string games together, but then a concussion pops up, so you still don't know.
You still don't know. And the beef with Dennis Allen and him was Dennis felt that a lot of his conditioning and maybe pulls injury-wise was that he had not got himself in the best shape in the offseason, ready for the NFL. That's the beef between it. And he may have something there. There may be a situation there where he's got to understand you're a pro. It's not what you do on Sundays. It's getting yourself ready Mondays through Friday to get yourself ready for a game. And I think that's where the beef came in.
And by beef, I mean there was a talk of what? He was on injured reserve and it didn't necessarily have to be. Or who knows? I don't know what the truth is, what the truth isn't. We'll pick it up with Mike Dettelier when we come back. 6:30, time for WWL First News. 6:43, 17 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Mike Dettelier, you have any king cake today or not?
Oh, not since I woke up.
No. I said, are you having any today? Not to have you had any.
Yeah,
it'd be a little bit early. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but for me, you never know.
No, me too. Yeah, look, and we had a couple of breaks. I don't know what you're doing during the breaks. That's your own business.
That's it.
Let's talk about defensively what you saw yesterday and the last couple of games, really. And while we're at it, throughout the season, what the Saints' defense is likely to look like next year.
Will be totally different, I can tell you that. You got a major overhaul on the defensive side of the football. I don't think there's no ifs, ands, and buts. And you got some major decisions on what you want to do with some guys that have been here for a long time, and that was being Cam Jordan and Tyrann Mathieu. I think DeMario Davis will kind of clear that up all by himself. I think he's always sort of talked about, I know when it's time to leave. So it's going to be one of these off seasons where it'll be more eventful than what the regular season is.
Let's talk about 56 for a second, though. Tell me what kind of season you think DeMario Davis had.
He's had one hell of a year. Okay. I'm going to be honest with you. Now, again, Father Time always got his finger on the button.
But not yet.
When you hit his age.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Right.
And he understands that, but, man, his instincts to the football, he's smart.
Still fast.
He's always around.
And always available.
Yeah.
Always available,
and
too, Mike, for the most
part.
You
hear it.
Yep.
He answers the bell. You know, it's a guy that's, I think, missed two games his entire career because of injuries. He's the best defensive free agent pickup this football team has ever had. Everybody says it's Jonathan Vilma. No, you had to trade for Vilma. Mm-hmm. Actually, DeMario Davis was out on the free agent market, and he's given you a tremendous amount. But every year he sort of talks about, I think about it. It's in the back of my head. When is it time for me to hang it up? And I think he'll make that decision before the team will on when he wants to. If he wants to come back, that's a spot for him. No question about that. But again, major decisions in the offseason on this football team and a total, I don't want to say a total overhaul, but a major overhaul of this defense.
I didn't see any drop-off from DeMario Davis this year. I really didn't. And I know, like you're saying, and I was looking for it now, with 32, I do think Tyrann Mathieu knows that.
Man, listen, he goes down. He's one of the greatest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Players ever to put on an LSU uniform, ever. And had a tremendous career with Arizona at first and Kansas City. Mm-hmm. But you know when it's kind of time. And in talking about that, let me throw this out, because we always sort of highlight players from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And last night, on full display, a young man from Thibodaux, Louisiana, Amik Robertson, plays for the Detroit Lions, cornerback there. They brought Amik in. He was with the Raiders for 4 years, and then they bring him in as a nickel cover corner. So he was going to be the number three guy. Well, due to injuries, he's got to play out on the edge now, and he becomes the starter. Last night, he held Justin Jefferson to 3 catches. Here's the crazy part about that. They both work out at Camp Mula in Houma. Mm. Amik does. And so they know one each other really well.
Mm-hmm.
And Amik's maybe, he's 5'8 and a little bit of change. He's not the biggest guy in the room, but he's a great fit for the Lions, mm-hmm. because Dan Campbell sees his instincts, his toughness. He will not back down from anybody. And so after the game, you know, they do interviews with the top players.
Mm-hmm.
Amik Robertson from Thibodaux, Louisiana. He's one of the greatest high school players seen from the Bayou. And just because of his size, he wasn't very high in the draft. He was a 4th-round pick. Man, did he play last night. And just have watched those guys. First time I saw both of them were actually at Ernest Harvey, who owns it. Oh, we all call him Turk, at Camp Mula out in Houma. And to see those two guys when they were high school guys working out, and now they're playing in the pros.
Talk about the job Dan Campbell's done. Of course, Dan Campbell's got a history with the Saints, and it just, man, they've had injuries, right? But last night was a very convincing victory. It was a tight game in the first half, but man, I don't know. Just talk about the job he's done, I guess, and how he's overcome these injuries and what is it, pedal and metal from last week, right?
One thing with Dan, you better give him a lot of effort or you won't be there. And I think him along with Brad Holmes, the general manager, they were able to change that football team by bringing in personnel that fit what Dan Campbell wanted out on the football field. That is so important and sometimes overlooked. Mm-hmm. Oh, this athlete, he's this tall, he jumps that high, he risks this much. You know what? That don't mean a damn thing to me. I want to know, can he play? And that is part of the Dan Campbell thing. As a former player himself, he understands that. And sometimes they've been criticized that they'll draft the player a little bit earlier than where you maybe had him rated. You know what? It don't make any difference. They want that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done a fantastic job of bringing that toughness mentality to this team. And offensively, man, they got skilled people all across the board. They can hit you tsunami-wise. Defensively, they've had a ton of injuries. And lost 8 starters at one time or another, 2 injuries. And he's had to fight through that, and that's how Amik got his opportunity to start, because of an injury. They lost 2 more last night.
Mm-hmm.
But man, he has breathed some life into an organization that was really in desperate shape. And people laughed about, you know, kneecap biting and all that stuff. But I understood what he meant. He wanted toughness.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted people who are talented, but also toughness, because you're going to go through some difficult times early on while you're trying to build that team. They've made so many right decisions, though, on draft day. That has been the key. And that's where his working relationship with Brad Holmes, the general manager, has really worked out tremendously. But, man, Dan Campbell's been a fantastic head coach in the NFL.
Let me take a break. We'll come back to the Saints. I just went off on that little Dan Campbell thing because it just shocked me, the second half of that game. It really did. I want to talk about Jordan Howden and more in the Saints secondary when we return. 6:51, 9 till 7. Traffic now, WWO. All right, 6:55, 5 till 7. Quickly back to Mike D'Attilia. He'll be second-guessing with the Cajun Cannon this evening at the Silva Slipper Casino in beautiful Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Starts at 4 o'clock. You can hear it here all on WWL. Head out there and join them. Have a good time with them. Darren Rizzi will be on the coaches show later with Mike Haas and the Cajun Cannon. And they're going to talk about the Saints season, talk about some of the things we're talking about now. Mike, when it comes to the Saints' defensive backfield, boy, they got a major job there. Who do you like from this year? Jordan Howden had an interception yesterday, I think, right?
Yeah, he did. Jordan's a guy that, I'll be honest with you, I thought he'd have a breakout year. It did not happen for him. And I can't explain why, but looking back at his rookie season, man, he showed a lot of promise. Smart guy, puts himself in the right position to make a play. And this year, it was not the same. He seemed to have a lot of confusion at times in the secondary of where he needed to be. You want to give him a second look. Also, he can play on special teams, so he can help you there. But at one time, it was the strength of your team was that corner, because you had Marshawn Lattimore, but you've dealt him off. Paulson Adebo was a guy you really liked, and then he had the injury. You move Alante Taylor back to the outside, and Alante struggled. He struggled being out on the edge. Teams kind of went after him. So that's an area you got to take a long look at. You never have enough cover people because of the way the game is played today with so many three wide receivers and these flex tight ends that are really kind of pumped up wide receivers playing tight end. So, Tommy, you got some overhauling to do on the personnel part, and it won't take just 1 year. This is good. It's going to be a little while before you can piece all this back together.
About head coach, Mike, what are you hearing? What's a process likely to look like?
I would think in the back of your mind, even though you don't say it, you kind of know who you want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know if I was in Mickey Loomis's spot, I would sort of know the guys I want to talk to. Now, I may go through the process, and somebody might jump out in the interview process, but I sort of know. Last night, if that wasn't a game that you would say Aaron Glenn wanted on the resume, it was that one.
Mm-hmm.
And look what that beat-up defense did against the Vikings. Aaron Glenn's going to be a guy that will have more than one option in the offseason. Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator with the Detroit Lions, will be another guy. I just have a gut feeling that this team will try to see if they can find a head coach with some experience or someone that they're familiar with. And that would certainly include Aaron Glenn, who's here as a player, as an assistant coach. And so I think it'll be a two and a half week process with them. But listen, I know most people say I go in with an open mind. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. You sort of know who you want. Or you know the people that you want. It'll be one of a couple guys.
What about the change in maybe maybe moving Mickey Loomis up a little bit or changing organizational structure to that, bringing in a guy like maybe the Lions did. I don't know how many of those they have, but, you know, with the help with the draft and so forth.
I would look at how you end up picking attacking players. I think that is, to me, the crux of the whole problem. You end up picking athletes and not necessarily the great football players.
Mm.
So whatever changes, and again, who has the ear of the owner to say, Gale, this is what you have to do? Because that, I learned that from Diliberto years ago. Hey, Mike, you can wish it, I can wish it, but who's in the ear of the owner? That's the only one that matters, the one who makes that decision.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. Pleasure as always. We'll listen for you this afternoon as you second guest from the Silver Slipper on a beach in Hancock County, Mississippi. When we come back, we're going to talk about the rise in vehicle terror attacks.